Glad God is good. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. It's encouraging as well this morning to see some on the fire department who played baseball with my kids growing up. God's so good to see these young men and women grow up, serve the community, and just appreciate them. Enjoyed the starting point class this morning, and we had a good crowd in there of new members as well as visitors who are interested in the church. And amazing, we kind of went around and told everybody gave their name and where they're from, and to see the people who are moving here from all over the place, Maryland and Washington. Got a text from one of our families who moved here from Seattle, Washington, and he said, "I'm not in Washington anymore." He said, I know that because the neighbor came and volunteered to mow my yard. As you know, was trying to be a good neighbor, and I said, "Welcome to Texas." Man, it's kind of like when I greet people on the street, like if I'm on the sidewalk and I say, "Hey, howdy," and they don't say anything back, I say, "They're from the north." Or I'll say, "They weren't raised in Texas." If you're from Texas, if you're driving down the street and somebody does this to you, you wave back. I mean, you don't have to do this. Just wave back. Raised in the country, you wave back. Don't give the cold shoulder. Man, you're in Texas. Amen. But it's been good to see so many visitors, and we just welcome you this morning as well. John chapter 3, we continue our series and preaching in the Gospel of John, following in the steps of Jesus. Today, the title of the message is Look to Jesus. Look at John chapter 3. We'll begin reading. Just going to read two verses this morning. Verse 14. I think we're going to be able to put it up on the screen. Yeah, verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him," believes in Christ, believes in Jesus, "should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, bless the message this morning. Bless your word as it's being preached. Lord, may you be with the listeners. God, may the message be very clear this morning. May your spirit help. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember the story now here. This is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. This begins in chapter 3 and verse 1. And so Nicodemus, who is a religious leader, he's a Jew, a religious leader of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. So there were really two main sects of the religious people at that time. It was either a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He was a Pharisee, which was the conservative wing. I won't go into politics, but conservative wing. Very religious man. He also was a rich man. And the historians tell us that he was the third richest in Jerusalem. He was also a Jewish historian. And just as a side note, remember now, a Pharisee would have memorized the first five books of the Bible. So he would have had the first five books of the Bible memorized. Plus, the Bible says he was a master of Israel, which means he was a Jewish historian. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Court for the Jews. So this is a man who was well-respected. This is a man whom I believe was sincere when he came to Jesus to ask questions. The Bible says he came to Jesus by night. And no doubt he came to Jesus by night, in my opinion, he came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of what others might think had they found out that he was coming to talk to Jesus. Though we understand and know that there were some who did know, because he said, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." So here it is, Nicodemus, a religious leader, a rich man, a ruler of the Jews, and comes to Jesus by night to ask him some questions. Now, Jesus Christ is going to give him some answers that he may not necessarily have wanted. And Nicodemus, this rich ruler, this religious, very religious man, had a wrong understanding of what salvation is. The Jewish nation as a whole had a wrong understanding of how to get to heaven. And Jesus is going to simplify it for him and make it very, very clear as to how a person gets to heaven. Jesus illustrates this two different ways. Actually, a third way we'll cover later down the road. But he illustrates this by what is called the new birth. And you find this in verse 3 where Jesus says unto him, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is the first time the phrase born again is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned in other areas, but the first time it's mentioned. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? That's a good question. How can you be born again when you're old? How can you enter the second time into your mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ made it clear that in order to have eternal life, one must have two births. A physical birth. You're here this morning, so you had one. Right? I had one, you know, March 4th, 1974 in Bowie, Texas. Bowie Hospital. I was born into this world. But you must also, he say, have a spiritual birth. One of water and one of the Spirit. So Nicodemus was given an illustration of how a person, again, can get to heaven. And Nicodemus, again, a good man, a sincere man, a religious man, but a man who, again, misunderstood and did not understand how to get to heaven. We covered that some last week when we said that Jews thought because they were Jews that that got them to heaven, because of their heritage, because of who they were. Now Jesus in our text takes Nicodemus to the Old Testament. So again, remember, now this is a religious leader. He's also a historian of the Jews. So now what Jesus does is he takes him back to the book of Numbers, to the Old Testament, and gives him an illustration of what it means, again, to have eternal life. Verse 14 and 15 of our text is found in Numbers 21. So I believe we're going to have this on the screen again, Numbers 21. Look with me, if you want to turn there, Numbers 21. The children of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years. Then God, through Moses, most of you have seen movies about it, or if you've seen the old Charlton Heston movie, they made another movie about the children of Israel in Egypt and how they came out of Egypt. God brought them out with a mighty hand, and because of their lack of faith, they did not go into the promised land. And so God led them in the wilderness. And in Numbers chapter 21, not Deuteronomy, that would be bad. Let me turn over to Numbers, wherever that is in the Bible. I went to Bowie High School. Numbers 21. That's where my English is. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed, talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh up upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So here are the children of Israel, God leading them, God supplying for them. This is a story of unthankfulness. It's a story of sin and rebellion against God as the children of Israel complained and rebelled against him. God had provided the children of Israel with manna. Manna means, what is it? That's what the definition is. What is it? I don't know. Little round pieces of bread-like things. I kind of think about a vanilla wafer. Aren't vanilla wafers good? You put it in some banana pudding. But manna really does mean, it means what is it? And they get up in the mornings and it'd be on the ground. They just pick it up off the ground. When the dew was on the ground, it was like dew on the ground. They just pick it up. God gave it to them every morning except Saturday. God provided meat for them in the evenings. The quail just came into their camp. They literally just go into the camp, leave their tent, go outside, pick up a quail. Everybody got that one pretty good? cooking a quail. They're just there. They didn't have to hunt it down, just go out and pick it up off the ground. I mean, God provided for them. God provided for them in that their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. He provided water for them out of a rock. By the way, honey came out of that rock. Oil came out of that rock. God provided everything they needed, not only for them, but for their animals, their livestock. God provided for them cloud by day, fire by night to lead them, to guide them. They didn't have to have GPS or anything. Man, there it was. Just led them around. God provided all these things for them, but yet here they go murmuring and complaining again. They did this constantly. We never do that. I love the song, God's been so good to us, and yet we still complain, murmur and complain. When things go a little bit awry, things go a little bit wrong, we start murmuring and complaining. That's the children of Israel. But they complained and murmured against God and rebelled against him, and so God said, that's it. And every once in a while, he did this. It's kind of like what we do with our kids. You know, it just comes a time when that child needs disciplined. Hello? We need more parents to discipline their kids. Take the effort, take the time, train up a child in the way he should go. So God's children, the children of Israel, God's children, God would discipline them. And the way he disciplined this time was he sent fiery serpents among them. And these serpents would bite them and they would die. Well, they began to cry out and say, Moses, help us, intercede for us, go to God for us. And Moses prayed for them, and God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up, and those who looked at the brass serpent lived, were healed. You say, well, I don't believe in miracles. I do. God can do anything. God made a way, God provided a way in which for the children of Israel to live. Again, God provided the children of Israel with everything they needed. Can I tell you that God provided for Adam and Eve everything they needed? God made Adam and Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, put them in a pristine garden, a perfect garden. By the way, God made them the center of creation. Can I say that again? Again, God created things in color. He could have created everything in black and white. God made food to taste different. God made thousands of different species of animals and man, just the number of fish that are. God made all this beautiful creation for us to enjoy. He made us the center of creation to enjoy his creation. Placed Adam and Eve in the center of the Garden of Eden, but Adam sinned. Adam rebelled against God. Even though everything was provided for him, even though he had everything he needed, he rebelled. He sinned against God. God's punishment for sin was death, physical death and spiritual death. The serpents that came into Israel and bit them caused physical death. Because of Adam's sin, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, we are born sinners. That sin nature has been passed on to us. And because of that sin, we've been separated from God. And the Bible makes it clear that separation from God is not just a separation from God, but is also the lake of fire, hell. We are sinners. We're selfish by nature. You don't have to teach a child how to take a toy away from another kid. You don't have to teach an adult. Anyway. We're all selfish by nature. Think about it for a moment. There'd be no marital problems if you weren't selfish. Hello? There'd be no need for policemen. I'm sorry, Brother Weston. If everybody was selfless, there'd be no need for a police. There would be no. If everybody treated others as they would want to be treated, there'd be no need for police. There'd be no war. I'm looking forward to someday that does happen. So, again, we have the story of rebellion. We have the story of grace. God had mercy on them. God showed them grace. Grace is undeserved favor. God provided a remedy for the snakes that bit them. And again, he made a brazen serpent, put it up on a pole, and all that looked to the pole lived. All that looked to the brass serpent lived. I want to point out that amongst this group of Jews in the wilderness was not just Jews alone. There were others in that group, not just Jews. The Bible calls them strangers and others that were with the Jewish nation. What was they to do? What were they to do? They were simply to look. And if they looked, they lived. And that's pretty simple. In verse 14 of our text, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here Jesus Christ is speaking of himself, that he must be lifted up. He's prophesying about his crucifixion when he would be raised up on the cross. Jesus Christ went to trial and was falsely accused and was beaten, mocked, and then nailed to the cross. And there in the north gate of Jerusalem, he was put on that cross. When he carried his cross, he was nailed to the cross, and then he was lifted up on that cross. And all those who came by, all who came to the market, all who came to buy and sell stuff, everybody who walked that way, that was the main gate in Jerusalem, was the main gate for merchandising and all those things. They came by, they saw Jesus on the cross. Notice verse 15 says, if I be lifted up, then whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad today that there's a remedy for our sinful condition. That whosoever believeth, whosoever, that God's no respecter of person. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm thankful God loves everybody. By the way, not just different ethnic groups, but God loves every, no matter what your social standing may be, no matter whether you're ugly and have a big nose like me, are you gorgeous and beautiful? God is no respecter of persons when it comes to how much money is in your pocket or how much money you don't have in your pocket. God loves everybody. Doesn't matter where you're born in America, God's not just the God of America. God's the God of those in South America. God's the God of those in Africa. God loves everybody. That whosoever believeth, whosoever puts their trust in him, transfers their trust. Listen, it's important that Nicodemus understood that just because he was a Jew didn't get him to heaven. Just because he was born a Jew doesn't get him to heaven. That he must look to Jesus. He must put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He must transfer his trust from his heritage and what he thinks is getting him to heaven, what he thinks is getting him saved. And maybe today you're here and you think, well, you know, I was baptized, or I was, you know, I'm a good person, or you know, I was born into a Christian family, or I'm better than my next door neighbor. And on and on and on. It doesn't matter where you put your trust in before, maybe because you're a member of a certain church. By the way, being Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. Being born again does. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he said, if I be lifted up, just as that brazen serpent was lifted up, all those who look to him and believe, in other words, believe, put their trust in him, can have eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Put your faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Him. His life, his death, and his resurrection. That whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish? Just as those Jews and those strangers, as they looked to that brazen serpent and lived, so are we to look to Jesus, and we will not perish. We will live. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, paid the penalty for my sin. He died for me. He took my place on the cross. He paid my penalty for sin to give me eternal life. Eternal life. It says, whoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life means forever. That's pretty eternal. Forever. Eternal life. The soul and the spirit, the Bible says, never die. This tabernacle, this body will die someday. In fact, it's appointed a man wants to die. It's going to happen. But the soul and the spirit never die. It continues to live on. It either lives on in heaven or in hell. And you make the choice while you're here on earth. Will you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Will you look to the brazen serpent? Will you look to the pole? Will you look to the cross? Will you put your faith and trust in him and him alone and nothing else? Not your works, not what you've done, not your accomplishments. Not, again, not your heritage, not your background, not whether you're a Methodist, a Baptist, or a Episcopalian. No, it doesn't matter where you... No, you put your faith and trust in him. Nicodemus, a religious leader. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus, do you understand? Do you understand how to get to heaven? It's simple. Put your faith in Jesus. Believing in him. Simply look to him. There's no hymn that says, I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. A message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Just look to Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. Head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. Just kind of have some time here as we prepare for the invitation. We'll invite you to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been saved. You don't know if you go to heaven if you were to die. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can know. We have counselors here at the front that'll show you. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never put your trust in Jesus. You never looked to him. I hope you'll do so today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you for sending your dear son to die, to be buried and rise again, that we might have eternal life. And God, I pray that there's some here this morning who've never looked to you. May they do so today. In Jesus' name, amen.